Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, listeners. This podcast is here to help you learn English by doing plenty and plenty of listening, the five L's, listening, 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 and listening. But it's also really important to do plenty and plenty of speaking, the five S's. That's right, speaking, 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 and speaking. And my podcast sponsor can help you do exactly that. I'm talking about iTalki, which is a service that will help you to develop your fluency in English by having conversations and one-to-one lessons online with qualified teachers and native speakers. To get started, get some speaking time, and to claim a voucher worth a free lesson, just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, folks. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing? Amber and Paul are on the podcast again today in this episode. And before we jump into our conversation, I would like to do a little introduction, which I promise to keep as brief as possible. First of all, premium episodes are coming. I'm uploading quite a lot of free episodes at the moment, including this one. But I have also been working on several premium series, which means quite a lot of premium episodes coming soon. So if you're a premium subscriber and you're wondering when the next premium episodes are going to arrive, well, they're coming soon. I have a bit of a backlog of free episodes, which I have to publish first, and I'll be publishing them over the next couple of weeks. Mainly those free ones are conversations with people that I organized recently when suddenly everyone became available. Sometimes that's the way it works. Like recently, suddenly lots of people became available around the same time, so I set up interviews with them, and this is why I've got a bit of a backlog of free content. I would hold on to those conversations and publish them later, but often they are time sensitive. I mean, we talk about things which are a bit relevant to what's going on now. So, okay, I think I'll publish a few free episodes, maybe up until episode 599, and there'll be conversations with guests, and then the free episodes will pause for a bit while I record and publish some premium content. So June will probably be a month of LEP Premium mainly, meaning lots of premium content throughout June, but the free podcast will be a bit quiet in June, but then things will kind of come back to life again a little bit later. Okay, so sign up to Luke's English Podcast Premium at teacherluke.co.uk/premium to get everything. The episode 600 live stream, you've heard me talk about this on the podcast recently. Episode 600 is coming up, and I'm going to record it while live streaming on YouTube. That's the plan. I still don't have a date for the YouTube live stream yet, but when I know more, I will let you know, okay? It will probably be a weekday, maybe a Friday, probably about 3 p.m. Central European time, probably at the end of June or the beginning of July. I can't say more at this time because I don't know, but just pay attention on the podcast. I will announce the specific date and time. But yeah, generally, probably Friday afternoon, probably at the end of June, maybe beginning of July, probably at about 3 p.m. Central European time. Okay, right then. So, Sleep with Amber and Paul, that's what this episode is called. And in this episode, I invite you to sleep with Amber and Paul. Well, not exactly. Actually, the plan in this episode was to discuss the topic of sleep with Amber and Paul. And we did that, as you will hear. But there is about 15 minutes of chat at the beginning before we actually get to the topic. We talk about, in that chat, in the 15 minutes before sleep before we start talking about sleep, we talk about a few differences between British and American English, including expressions like I couldn't care less and I can't be arsed, and the way Brits and Americans say the word duty. Then there is some showbiz news, some show business news from the three of us, mainly from Amber and Paul. London Lepsters and Amber fans, please pay attention to an announcement from Amber. It's an opportunity to see her and Sarah on stage doing comedy in Islington in London on Thursday the 23rd of May. Okay, so listen carefully for Amber's announcement on that. You'll also find a link on the page for the episode for all the details. But anyway, Amber's got a show to tell you about if you're in London, Thursday the 23rd of May. Listen carefully. Lepsters who use YouTube, listen out for some news from Paul regarding his one-man stand-up show, Franglais. I mean, some of you know, basically, oh, I'm going to give it away now, but it doesn't matter. His one-man show, which is like over an hour long, is now available for you to watch on YouTube, basically. And Paul is going to tell you about it in more detail coming up, all right? Also, there's some pretty big personal news from Paul, not about stand-up shows or anything. It's more personal than that. And I think this is the first time he's announcing this publicly, so this is a bit of a scoop for the podcast. So watch out for Paul's personal announcement. Then we eventually do get to the subject of sleep, and the rest of the episode is all about us comparing our sleeping habits, talking about things like insomnia, sleepwalking, talking in your sleep, snoring, you know, snoring, falling asleep on public transport, snoring cats, that's cats that snore, and Paul learning Arabic in his sleep, and more, including some slightly disgusting stories, which is nice. Sleep is a very rich area for English vocabulary, so look out for the variety of ways that we talk about this subject. And watch out for a premium episode devoted to vocabulary on this topic coming in the future at some point. So that's it then. Let's get started. And here we go.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah.
Okay, shall we get started?
Let's go for it.
So, how do I normally begin these episodes?
With a very long, rambling introduction.
Where are we? Oh, come on, that's old news now, isn't it? Surely. Luke does long, rambling introductions.
Are you still doing those, by the way?
A little bit, but less than before. Okay. I mean, I've used to do them where I had you two on the podcast or something, and I'll do a little introduction.
And I talk,
and I look down at the recorder, and I see I've been talking for 19 minutes, and I still haven't started the recording yet. But, you know, a lot of the time, those introductions are necessary. Because a lot of the people listening don't have English as a first language.
Speaking of listeners, I've had a bunch of people comment on my vlogs and stuff like that, being like, "Oh, I'm a Lepster ninja."
Oh yeah,
that don't like comment on your stuff, and it's like, "Oh, I'm starting to comment now a bit more," so it's cool.
They're commenting on your stuff and not my stuff.
Well, I presume they've started commenting on your stuff since. It's like, I'm an original Lepster ninja.
It's funny when people write and say, I'm a ninja, I'm a Lepster, ninja Lepster. I'm like, well, not anymore. As soon as you come out and say that you're a ninja, you're not a ninja anymore.
You're a retired ninja.
You're an ex-ninja, yeah, former ninja.
Retired ninja.
Hello,
everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the podcast.
What's the situation?
The situation is that we're back in your flat, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And Amber and Paul are another podcast.
That's right. And so, shall I do this introduction that I've prepared? It's just two paragraphs.
It's like, oh God, I can't even be asked with my introduction.
Do your introduction, Luke. I feel like introduction
I was going to rinse Sarah the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw on one of her Instagram stories, you know how in English we say, I can't be asked?
Yeah.
Mm. English people say
what
that.
What does it mean?
It means I can't be bothered. What does that mean? I can't be fucked.
What does that mean, though?
I don't want to do it.
Yes. I'm too lazy to do it.
There's three levels of not wanting to do stuff in British English.
Yeah.
Level one is I can't be bothered, which is you could probably do it, but you just can't be bothered. Number two is I can't be asked, which is really like, I feel like we've talked about this before. Maybe. And number three is I can't be fucked. Like, you're definitely not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But Americans always mishear when we say I can't be asked and think that we're saying I can't be asked. like to ask. And I saw Sarah post on her on your Instagram the other day, and she it was written, "I can't be asked." ASKED.
No.
I'm like, fuck. That's the classic American mistake when they hear English people.
I did not know they made that mistake. Well,
yeah, you'll, and now that you've heard it and you've seen it, you will never unsee it. And it's the same thing, that the same revelation I had when Americans say, "I could care less."
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's like,
why
I couldn't care less, because if you could care less, then you really, like, it's...
You need to clarify that, because it's not just Americans who probably misunderstand these things. I can't be asked, meaning asked like A-R-S-E-D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning I don't want to do it, or I'm too lazy to do it, but I can't be asked. It's weird. Like,
I think it means I can't be bothered to get up off my ass to do the task.
I suppose so, yeah.
So it's I can't be asked for short.
Yeah.
But Americans hear I can't be asked because it's, to be fair, it sounds very similar.
Yeah.
And so,
meaning like, could you do the washing up, Paul? No.
Yeah.
You can't even ask me. I can't be asked to do it.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
In a far-fetched way.
It makes more sense literally and logically than I can't be asked, which sort of doesn't make a lot of logical sense, really.
Do you think that they've misheard, or do you think it's just prudishness?
No, I think they've misheard.
Yeah, okay.
Because I get that all the time. There's another word.
It's not pretty shit. Americans talk about their ass all the time, don't they?
They do.
Get your ass out of here. I don't want to see your ass. Who is this? It's your ass, isn't it? Your ass.
It's because we say ass, like this, like the received pronunciation is ass rather than ass. Because my dad will say ass, like, get your ass over here. Mm. So Americans will hear ass and they go, oh, that means ass. But if they hear ass, they're hearing ass.
I think ass is just the British version and ass is the American version. And so Americans don't maybe... Sarah's quite knowledgeable of British English, but a lot of Americans won't realise that we say ass. And so they'll say, if they'll hear, I can't be asked, meaning I can't be asked.
Or even the spelling of it, like A-R-S-E-D.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of Americans know that we spell ass, A-R-S. Yeah. Sorry, A-R-S-E.
For a lot of Americans, our version of the language is like this little sort of boutique, sort of strange, quaint little toy shop version of English.
Yeah. Well, and I know that people misunderstand the hearing of that, because for my show, What the Fuck France, my phrase in everything was like, oh, I'm glad you fucking asked.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone writes it, I'm glad you fucking ask, without the past participle. Like, it's not in the past, it's in the present.
That's French people who
it is French people,
it
but
wrong.
It's also, I think, something to say that we complain about people not understanding what we're saying, but really, to a non-British person or a non-English speaker, but even non-American, it's like, I can't be asked. And Americans say, I could care less.
Yeah.
So
the I could care less thing, it's just like basically when you don't care about something, when you really don't care about something, in British English, you'd say, I couldn't care less. Which
like
is
you're at the bottom.
Yeah.
You can't care less than that.
This is the lowest that I can care about something. It's not possible for me to care less. I couldn't care less. Whereas in American English, they say, well, I could care less about that.
Yeah,
you could care less about it. Why? So
then you do care more than not about it.
You kind of care a bit about it then.
They're the two things that drive me nuts.
Well, the other day, Hugo came and he said to me, I'm ready for Judy. And I was like, you're ready for Judy?
Who's Judy?
Who's Judy? And what are you ready for? And he'd been watching this American cartoon and Paw Patrol, and they're ready for duty. But in their American accents,
duty.
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 And he was like telling me, he's like, I'm ready for Judy. And I was like, oh.
Who is Judy?
Who's Judy?
What's Judy going to do to you? Why didn't you tell me about Judy before?
That's funny.
Okay.
Anyway, we're off topic.
Should we start the podcast?
Yeah, let's start.
You know, it's like I've said before that, like, sometimes if I don't get the things under control in the first 3 minutes, then we're off.
All right, get it under control, Master
okay.
Luke.
Come on, Luke.
Right, so Amber and Paul. Right, actually, I wanted to ask you if you've got any showbiz news. You just got like a couple of minutes just to announce
any showbiz
news. You got one main bit of showbiz news that my listeners
just
might.
Just two bits.
Go on.
One, my full show Franglais, which I've been doing for 3 years. Listeners, if you were there before I started doing it, then hello. Is now available on YouTube for free. So you can go to my YouTube channel. If you type in Paul Taylor Franglais or Paul Taylor Show, it should come up in the hits there. And the second bit of news is I'm working on a second show.
Okay, great.
That's it.
So the Franglais thing on YouTube, it's a 1 hour and 9 minute video.
Correct.
Of your one-man show that you've been talking about it on this podcast on and off over the last few years.
Yeah. It's filmed, it's done. I will never do those jokes again.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so if my listeners want to see the stuff that we've been talking about, Paul's show is now on YouTube. Is it available in every region?
It's available worldwide.
Okay.
For free.
Okay, so I'll put the video on the page for this episode, but otherwise, YouTube,
yeah,
Paul
and listen
Taylor.
To it. Listen to it, share it.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. I was like, cool, I'm going to be a rebel and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll get seen by some people.
Yeah.
And so I'm just hoping it does, because if it doesn't and it flops, I'm kind of like, oh, cool, well, that was a bit of a waste of time.
One thing that people should know, of course, is that the show is called Franglais, which means it's like half in French and half in English.
Correct.
But will that be a barrier for like my listeners around the world?
No, because if they speak a bit of English, there are English subtitles for the bits where I speak French.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's French subtitles for when I speak English. So it's a good way of practicing English.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
You will
people write to me all the time saying, oh, I love your videos, I use them a lot to learn English.
Good, yeah.
Or learn French. I'm like, all right, cool. I mean, great. I don't know if it's the best type of English or French to be learning, but
amazing. I think, you know, your English is all right, isn't it? Basically, what do you think? Amber's basically all right, isn't it?
Basically.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't know any words, but...
No words.
But no, it's fine. Like, yeah, anything that... if people are learning English, anything that they watch in English is good.
Yeah.
Because that's my basic policy these days.
Yeah, they get different voices, different accents, yeah, different vocabulary, yeah, different... A lexicon.
Because these people who are using your videos and stuff to learn English, potentially they wouldn't be watching that much stuff in English if they weren't watching your videos. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, potentially.
Like,
yeah.
Basically, my point is like anything is better than nothing. And a lot of people do nothing. They don't,
yeah,
like, you know, watch anything in English. So, yeah, good. All right.
So that's my showbiz update.
Okay, there, yeah, we go. And working on new jokes.
Yeah.
That's cool. Amber, any showbiz news?
Showbiz news? Yes, Sarah and I, we are going to London.
So, yes. Listeners in London, any London Lepsters, and I know there are some. There are quite a lot, actually. Anyway, London Lepsters, listen up.
London, Thursday, the 23rd of May, we're performing in Islington in the Rosemary Branch Theatre, one night only.
Yeah.
Islington, Rosemary Branch Theatre,
yes,
in Islington. What time?
7:30. I believe 7:30. And yeah, we're doing our show, Becoming Maman. It's in English. It is about raising French children when you're not French.
Tell us the date again.
23rd of May.
The theatre?
Rosemary Branch.
In?
Islington, London.
Okay. And so basically, if listeners, if you want to see Amber and Sarah on stage being funny, then go down to the Rosemary Branch Theatre on the Thursday, the 23rd of May at 7:30. Tickets?
Available online.
They just where? Just
via
Google
the theatre, or they can follow us on Facebook, and I think we've got some links and stuff.
But they should Google Rosemary Theatre, Islington.
Rosemary Branch Theatre, yeah.
Rosemary Branch Theatre, Islington.
Mm.
And that's the link will be on the page for the episode as well.
Yes.
The main thing is it's you and Sarah,
yeah,
talking about your lives as mothers in another country and being terrifically funny and brilliant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen the show.
I've seen the show twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's great. It's really, really good. So people should go and see it.
Yeah.
If you know, listeners, 23rd of... This episode is probably going to go out that week. We're recording this on a Friday. It's probably going to be published at the beginning of next week. So they will have like probably a day or two to get their asses into gear and to go out there and get tickets and see, yeah, the show. So they won't have a lot of time. Some people will miss it.
Yeah, but those Lepsters, they're agile.
Yeah, they'll pounce on this like a puma.
That's right.
Straight in there. Yes. Boom.
Exactly.
What's okay. Your showbiz news, Luke?
I don't really have any showbiz news except that I've been, you know, doing episodes of the podcast, that my premium subscription is a going concern. Yeah, that means it's like happening. It's like an active business.
Yeah, you're not concerned about it.
No, I'm not concerned about it. Well, obviously I'm concerned about it because I have to make sure that the content is, you know, useful and quality and all that stuff, you know.
Premium.
All that good stuff. It's premium, exactly.
How much is it a month?
It's basically the price of like a small, medium or large coffee for me once a month.
That's cool. Yeah.
Which, you know, it's good
that's
value.
Fair enough. Yeah.
That sounds very reasonable.
They get access to
and it's like it's going well. Like people are.
Yeah, it's going really well.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. It's going well. It's going good. So the main thing is I just have to keep pumping out the content, keeping them educated and entertained and informed, you know. So that's what I'm doing. That's it. That's my showbiz news. I don't have like a stage show to promote at this point, but yeah, it's all online stuff. So there you go, listeners. Teacherluke.co.uk/premium.
For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
There you go. And there's like, exactly. In the premium episodes, the jingles are very short. They don't get like promo advertising at the beginning of episodes. It's just a very short pew and spam. We're in. Bam, we're in. Not spam, we're in.
Bam, we're in. None of that iTalky stuff.
I don't talk about iTalky, and my intros are, I keep them short and simple and sweet. I work hard on the premium stuff, folks. You get your
money. You work hard on the free stuff as well, be honest.
Yeah, but I work extra hard on the premium stuff.
Well, it sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Mm. Yeah, right, get then. Into it, listeners.
But
get
today,
involved.
Luke, what are we here for today?
Half an hour later.
I have to share this as well before we even get to this. I've got something else I need to share. I just got this comment because I put my episodes up on YouTube as well, right? Just the audio.
Yeah,
sure.
So, you know, for people who, you know, a lot of people want to get the stuff on YouTube, so fair enough. So I got this
you
one.
Need to get the cameras going on.
I do need to get video cameras. And
like Joe Rogan. Like, yeah, you need to get that stuff.
It's just a step too far, like dealing with the videos. It's not that I can't be arsed. It's more I just can't handle it. I just can't get. The video. There's too many cables. I get vexed. I get very vexed by making video.
Share us the stuff.
So I got a comment from Vega X Edge 1 hour ago. Uh-huh. On one of the episodes on YouTube, and it says, what an underrated channel. All right, thanks. But then it says, P.S., we want Amber and Paul back.
Yes.
Greetings from New Zealand. So there you go.
Yeah. Actually, I got somebody commented on when I put the special up on YouTube. Yeah. I don't know if it was a comment on YouTube or on one of the social medias. I was like, hey, it's out. Someone's like, it's amazing, Paul. It's just missing Luke and Amber.
Oh,
well,
that's sweet.
You know, I got a comment and I was going to show you, and I'm going to have to look it up on my website, from my podcast, Pan Am, which is about Paris, because I did an episode on the Académie Française.
Oh, yeah.
Like what they do and like a story about it. And then someone wrote back saying, oh, you know, I love this episode and now I understand Paul's joke.
Yeah, we need to do like a thing, like a proper thing.
Yeah.
The three of us. I don't know.
We need to find some way of joining forces like the Avengers.
Exactly.
And taking over the world. Yeah. Well, rescuing the world, not taking over the world.
Yeah.
That's bad, isn't it?
Is it?
Taking over the world
is the dark side coming
that's
out.
That's what the bad guys do, isn't it? Yeah. Taking over the world.
We will stop people taking over the world.
Yeah, we'll. Yeah. We'll
I don't know.
Make sure that no one is in control of the world.
Listeners, if you have an idea of what me, Amber, and Luke could do as a trio,
I'll tell you what we could do.
I mean, we've done many podcasts together, but I feel like there's another level of
another
something.
Level. You know what it is?
What?
It's this, right? And even mentioning this is going to drive some people crazy because they'll be like, we've been asking you to do this for ages. And that is that the three of us need to hit the road and do a world tour.
You know, we should do a show called Sorry We're English, but it's three of us. Like we used to do just the two of us.
We should
have three of us do 20 minutes each or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
And, about the problems of being English.
Maybe we could do like we could resurrect a stand-up show in English.
Yeah.
Another Sorry We're English, right?
Yeah.
And it's a chance for you to build your material.
Yeah.
And it's a chance for us to just, you know, do our jokes together in a show. That could be fun.
Good
and
idea.
Could even work if one of us not available, you know, it could still work as a two-hander, as they say.
Yeah.
It's an idea, isn't it?
I'm in.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds fun.
I might well be in as well for that. Anyway, I did have a topic lined up for this today.
Onto the topic.
This is the non-podcast podcast.
I like doing this, though, weirdly.
It always happens
like
this.
But people like these episodes, I think, even though because they're like, oh, we're going to get to the topic.
Yeah.
And we never get there.
Sleep is the topic. We were going to talk about sleep. Come on, Luke.
All right.
Get it together.
We've had very complicated episodes in the past on this podcast, right? The three of us. We have, including discussions of some complex philosophical questions, if you remember that.
I do.
We planned a bank robbery once.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. Fun.
Yeah. We tracked down a kidnapper in Victorian London.
Yeah. The burlap sack.
With a burlap sack and all that stuff. You don't remember,
Paul. It was
like
a multiple choice one.
You were there, Paul.
You were there.
In front of the TV, we were going through a choose your own adventure.
Online. Yeah.
We've played intense psychological evaluation games, kind of.
Yeah.
And we've travelled deep into the vocabulary of English. We've talked a lot of crapola. But this time we're going to just have a chat about a topic, and the topic is sleeping.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Okay.
What of it?
I haven't really talked about this on the podcast before. There's a surprisingly large amount of vocab relating to this topic. People often talk about it, and it almost always works as a topic of conversation in class because everybody sleeps. Okay, so let's talk about sleep, and we'll see what bits of language come up. And if there's time, we can also talk about dreams too, but I think that might be another one for another time. So, did you sleep okay last night? How did you sleep last night, Amber?
I slept all right.
Yeah, how many hours did you get?
Oh, you know, I love a lot of sleep. You know, some people, they don't like, you know, 4 hours sleep, 5 hours sleep. I like 8 to 9 hours sleep.
Yeah, me too.
That is
minimum.
A minimum amount of sleep for me. So I think I went to bed around 11.
Yeah.
I woke up at 7:30.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So you got the required amount of sleep then, did you?
Yeah, I like a lot of sleep.
Okay.
Paul?
Did you sleep all right last night?
No.
Why not?
I don't know why yet. It's to do with, I think, just stress in my life.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting to sleep about 3:30.
Okay.
And woke up at 9:30.
Okay. Because like the lifestyle of the stand-up comedian, we understand, is that they go to sleep late and they wake up late. Do you do that?
Yeah, a lot, yeah. Even when I'm not doing stand-up, like yesterday yesterday was a particular day, is because when I released my stand-up show on YouTube yesterday. So I was stressed out. I was doing lots of stuff on social media, posting stuff, making sure the image is square and all the text is in the right place because it did change. You know, I'm trying to adapt. So I was just stressed out yesterday. But in general, for the part since January, since I stopped doing stand-up as my full show, I've been in this like cycle of going to bed at like 3 or 4 in the morning and waking up at like midday.
But why?
I don't know. I just can't. I think what it is when, because I know that I've got to write a new show for August, or a rough version of the show that I take on stage and test it. Because the whole month of August, I'm testing the show or rewriting it while I'm on stage. But I mean, I think I'm in this thing. I'm not doing stand up anymore. I've got no TV stuff anymore. I've got nothing happening.
But you're not doing like your like spots at other people's shows in the evenings.
Yeah, I started doing that again, like doing 10-minute shows here and there.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as I don't know. So I'm in this weird thing of, like, I'm trying to create, but I don't have mental space to create because when I created my first show, my wife, Addy, was still working. So she was gone for the whole day. So I had the whole day at home doing nothing with free mind on the internet, looking at YouTube videos, just getting inspired as it came and I'd find stuff as it would come.
Yeah.
And now she's at home because we work together. So we're at home together all day, every day together. Mm-hmm. And so the only free time that I have really is when she's sleeping to have a mental break from everything. So I think that's why she goes to bed at around and you know, because she's heavily pregnant. She falls asleep.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm having a baby.
Paul's having a baby.
Yes, he is.
Addie's pregnant.
Yeah.
Can we? Okay. We have to ask all the questions. When's the due date?
29th of June.
Okay. You could call it the June date then, couldn't you?
that is the Russian joke again.
No, it's not. That's much worse than the Russian joke.
Well, it's the same. The
Russian joke's better.
Yeah, but I bet you people didn't understand it. I bet some people didn't understand.
More people would understand that.
Than the Russian
joke.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Because the Russian joke, I mean, you weren't Russian to get... I mean,
No. That's more sophisticated.
Yeah.
It is more sophisticated. It's still
a pun. It's still a...
June date.
It's still rubbish.
It's not that rubbish. I thought I quite like the Russian joke, actually, on balance.
No, the Russian joke's lovely.
Yeah.
Especially since you came up with it.
June date.
The June date.
Yeah, that's obviously shit, but...
It's the 29th.
Anyway.
So, due in June.
Yeah.
And and this is going to radically alter.
It's going to completely change. So I'm kind of not too worried about it, but in terms of because there's a social pressure of when you wake up late, you're an asshole, and it's really like
what?
Yeah, like I don't know, just people frown upon people who wake up late.
Lazy
people.
Yeah, but they're not lazy. I mean, because I'm fed up of people being like, you wake up at 11, at 12, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, but I went to bed at 4, so shut up. And it's just like we're on a different... But it's true. Like, it doesn't matter what you do as a job. It doesn't matter if you've stayed up till 7 a.m.
Yeah.
If you wake up at 12, you're considered a lazy bastard.
Right.
And it's really frustrating for somebody like me. And if you feel the same, that you like sleep. I love sleep.
No, but this is true because there is... You know, they say, for your listeners as well, that you're like a morning person or a, what's it, a morning bird or a
early
night
bird
owl.
Or early a bird. Night owl.
But I think there is research to show that you are like this. Like, I know I hate the morning. I hate getting up in the morning. I've got this job at the moment and I have to get up early and I'm not doing it next year. I was like, I hate getting up early. I hate the morning and I like staying in bed. And I used to work so many jobs where I was up late. I can stay up late and I can sleep late. And I'm just like, who are these morning people? Yeah. I hate them.
So, this is a question for you then. How did having a child alter that for you and how did you live through it? How did it affect you?
Well, I mean,
do you remember? It's 5 years ago now. Is it five?
Yeah, he's five. The problem is that like you're not getting enough sleep at any point, so you're sort of globally very tired. But it's sort of worked out. Like in the morning, it's, you know, Nico, he wakes up. My partner wakes up. He does a lot of the morning, and I just stay in bed. I'm like, no, I do all the rest of it. I stay in bed. He takes him to school and stuff like this. So I just stay in bed as long as possible.
Okay.
But no, it was rough. It was really rough. But then on the flip side, like you have to wake up a lot at night.
Yeah.
That maybe wasn't
well,
as bad.
Me and Addy have kind of, I mean, we don't know what it's going to be like, but we were like, all right, cool. Like I can do the things until 3 a.m. because that's when I stay up until anyway. And then
the thing is, you both get woken up.
Yeah.
It's the crying and all the rest of it. So
plus also it you're just sort of aware as well. Like, I remember it's getting a bit better these days. Like my daughter's sleeping habits are and pretty good as well. But it's certainly in the early days, you're kind of you go to sleep, but you don't sleep very deeply because you're listening,
right? Now,
and you're in a primed state.
Yeah.
And I remember several times, like her crying a little bit, and me just even leaping out of bed before I've even realized I'm awake.
Yeah,
I'm just like, up,
just animal,
like, bam.
Instinct.
Yeah, it's just instinct. Yeah. This sort of protective instinct where you're on alert, you're always listening. So you don't get the full restful sleep that you would get, even if your child doesn't cry that much.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know.
But it's all right.
It's probably the thing that I'm anxious the most about.
Yeah.
Because I'm really not. It's interesting because either I can function on very little sleep, and I can function on a lot of sleep, but a medium amount of sleep I'm grumpy and I like. I got back from a gig on Saturday. What day are we today?
Friday. You don't have something to do, do you?
No.
Paul's looking like, what? It's Friday.
I don't know, I thought it was last week. That's how mental my brain is now, but it wasn't. It was the week before last.
Okay.
Anyway, I got back from a gig in the south of France on a Saturday. I decided on a Saturday that I would fly to New York on the Sunday to visit my friend Dimitri, who you've both met, whose birthday it was. He was over there with his girlfriend for his birthday, and my other mate Chris was out there with him. And like, I was seeing their Instagram stuff, and I'm like, "What am I doing next week? Like, what am I doing for the next couple of days?" And I wasn't really doing much. I was like, "Fuck yeah, let's do it." So on the Sunday at 6 a.m., I flew to New York.
Wow.
And we went out on the Sunday night. You arrive, you know, in the afternoon or in the early morning. Mm. We stayed out until about 3 a.m. on that Sunday, 3 or 4 a.m. on the Sunday to the Monday. And then the Monday, we spent the day there. And the Tuesday, I flew back home. And then as soon as I got back, like I was back, I had to get up for a meeting for something at 8 a.m. So I love that. Like I can function on no sleep at all. I'm exaggerating, but like two hours sleep, like I can do it. Like, cause there's some sort of adrenaline that hits me where I'm like, I know I'm not supposed to be active and doing stuff, but I am, and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
If I have like 4, 5, 6 hours, it's difficult.
Cause your body's like, okay, so we're going to sleep. And then you're like, like you're teasing your body. Like,
yeah. If I have 2, 3 hours, I'm all right. If I have a little bit more than that, I'm really not all right. And then if I have more than 8, then I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot depends on like the baby, you know, how it's going to go, what kind of feeding you're choosing. Yeah. And also you're kind of lucky because you can kind of recuperate in the day. Like babies do nap quite a bit in the day. And if you've got a schedule, that means that you can like catch up. It mightn't be so bad for you.
Maybe.
Honestly. And also, past that bit and then you're all right.
Okay. And were you both on regular, what was your schedules when like early birth?
Well,
like for the first 6 months, you're pretty flexible, right? But you're still teaching and stuff.
Yeah,
like that, right?
3 times a week I have to get up at the crack of dawn to go and teach. So, and it, that's how it was just after the baby was born. I mean, I had like a couple of weeks off, but then back to work. Yeah. And so, yeah, basically twice a week, twice a week in the week, I have to get up at like 6, and then Saturdays as well. So basically 6 o'clock on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays, I'm up at 6.
Right.
Sounds like hell.
And for the rest of the days, you would wake up whenever you
The rest of the
to.
Day, I can just wake up depending on the baby and the wife.
Okay.
So I can kind of like go, you know, slot
what
in
What time
with
does the
their,
wife get up? 7? Something
as like? Late as possible. But she also has a lot of work to do. So these days, the way it goes is we put put our daughter to bed at about 8:30. And she usually falls asleep straight away. And she sleeps all the way through till about 7.
That's
and then she wakes up. She might maybe wake up and make a little noise in the night, but normally, at the moment, she's okay. But depends. Sometimes if she's sick or whatever, she'll wake up in the middle of the night. But yeah, all the way, sleeps all the way till 7. Then we give her a bottle, and she's like, she wakes up like Arnold Schwarzenegger. she wakes up desperate for milk. It's hilarious how desperate she is. It's like she wakes up. Sometimes she wakes up. She's like. Like that, waking up, and then she realizes, oh yeah, I'm really hungry and thirsty, and she's like, like that. It's like a drug addict, you know. It's like living with a drug addict in right. a way. And like I go off and make the bottle and get the milk ready, and then I bring it in, and she sees the milk, and she's like, like that,
wow.
like give me the milk. And then as I'm taking the top off and putting it in her hand, she's like, and then she starts going, she's like giggling and laughing because she's got it. She gets all chuffed for a
That's
second.
Amazing.
She's like, give me the milk. And then I give it to her. And she's like, in her mouth. And whack, gone in like a couple of minutes. It's all gone.
Back to
And then like the routine is you give her the top. She puts the top back on. And she feels kind of pleased that she's put the top back on. Give her pacifier. Give her a little burp. Back in bed. Sleeps again for about another hour, maybe more. And then at about, 8... No, and then about sort of sometimes like getting on for 9 o'clock, she'll wake up again, and then we just bam, 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 get her ready. And if it's a creche day, take her to creche. Otherwise, you just, start messing around on your, Sunday or Saturday or whatever it is. So, yes, there you go.
Yeah.
Quick questions, right? So you said that you both ideally get about 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. How often do you actually get 8 or 9 hours of sleep these days?
I don't know. It's not bad, but like my son, unlike yours, he never sleeps through the night. Still, no. He still wakes up in the night. He still wakes us up.
And he's 5 years old now, so he wakes up and he gets up, does he?
Well, no, like. Because he used to wake up every 2 hours for about the first 15 months.
Wow.
Whoa.
And that was very hard, but you kind of get used to it. And then he would wake up in the night and climb into our bed. And then the last, 6 months, maybe a bit longer, we started locking the door, like our bedroom door. Yeah. So he'd wake up and try and get in and then just be furious and then wake us up and then we'd go into his bed. And he doesn't get into our bed anymore,
That's
but
good.
He still calls us normally once, at least once a night.
Okay.
So normally around once a night, one of us will go in and give him a cuddle.
Okay.
So,
well, I think you've answered it really, that you don't always get the amount of the sleep.
No, I 8 or 9 like most days now.
Okay. What time do you go to bed, Paul? Oh, you said 3:30.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends. There's nights where I'm fine and I'll go to bed at like 11:30 midnight. But my problem is computers and internet and stuff like that. Because like if I do nothing, I'll fall asleep at midnight and then everything. But if I start checking my social media or stuff like that, or I start watching a video, then that leads to another one, and I just end up in a black hole for an hour.
So okay, so you go to bed at typically.
It's never before midnight.
Okay,
it's either at midnight.
Yeah.
Or at 3.
Let's say you go to bed at midnight. What time do you go to sleep?
Probably about 1:30, 1.
Okay.
It takes me a long time to get to sleep.
Does it?
Yeah. My head starts going, because again, it's...
Your head starts doing that?
My brain just starts...
Oh, your brain.
My thoughts. I just have thoughts that come through, because that's the only time... The two times where I think in the day, really, properly, are the shower and when I'm lying in bed.
Those are the only times you think?
Yeah, the only times that I think freely there's new things that come in. I don't know how to explain.
I thought that was the only time
The reason for that, I was reading about this woman was saying the only time she got any thoughts, she was like writing, was when she was in the shower, and she realised it's because it's the only place she's not got a phone.
Yeah.
And it's the same, like,
and it's raining in the shower, and I like the rain, so.
And like in bed, you're just kind of like, you've got that space, and all those thoughts come in.
Or aeroplanes. The other one is when I take long flights, I end up doing nothing. When I watch the films, I just think.
Yeah, okay.
It's great.
All right, next question is, do you ever have trouble sleeping?
Yep.
Do you?
Not often.
No. So how do you, if you're lying in bed and you're not sleeping, like you get a bit of insomnia, for example,
yeah,
you're lying in bed, you're not sleeping. How do you get yourself to sleep? How do you get to sleep if you can't? Do you have any techniques?
There's a couple of ones that I use, which is like I'll think about a specific point in my life in the past, whether it's an event, whether it's a year-long thing. Like I'll just recount my life in my head. Often the one that I'll use is like the year that I spent at boarding school in Madrid, when my dad moved back to England, and it was like one of my favorite years of my life was in this boarding school. And I just replay back in my mind some of the experiences, and that kind of helps me.
How old were you at the time?
14.
Okay.
Why was it so good?
I was 15.
Normally boarding school has at least one traumatic experience in it.
I don't know, but there wasn't very many of us. There was maybe 20 of us that lived in the school. So we were all good friends, and they're all different ages, different country backgrounds.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was the first time that I'd been alive that I didn't have my parents around.
Yeah.
And as a teenager, that's great.
Yeah.
As a mid-teenager, where you start drinking, you start trying out stuff. You know, it's cool not having parents. And the person that looked after, like the head of the house, the head of the whatever we called it, I can't remember.
The dormitory.
Yeah. He was a really cool, like a really cool guy. Like,
yeah.
Young. He didn't really care, you know, as long as we didn't go crazy, he'd join in the fun as well. Like, we'd have beers at his, like, he'd have a flat attached to the school with the back garden and stuff. And sometimes we'd have beers in the evening.
Wow.
So it was just fun. And I think back to that time, and that either calms me down, or the reason I can't get to sleep is I'm thinking about, oh, okay, so I'm going to post this tomorrow. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I've got this show and I haven't written anything for it. I've got to do... And so it's future thinking.
That's interesting.
My brain goes...
When you can't sleep, you're actually thinking of like pragmatic, practical things. Because when I can't sleep, my brain is not thinking about, oh, I've got to do this, that and the other. My brain is going... and like I've got music running through my head again and again.
Really?
And there's just my thoughts are just... climbing around all over the place.
Interesting.
And I'm just like, shut up, just calm down, I want to go to sleep.
Yeah. I'm like, shut up, calm down, but it's because I'm thinking too much about what I need to do tomorrow, what I need to do the next week. This is happening, I don't have any jokes for that stuff, the kid's coming, we haven't got that ready, this is all sorts of things. And I do come up with good ideas at that stage, but I don't now. It's difficult because of the way the bed's situated in the room, because we've had to move the room about. I used to be able to like grab my phone and just write down a thing that I thought was, and now my phone's not anywhere near me, so I have to climb over Addy to get it. Doesn't work. So so to stop thinking about future worries and things like that, I think about past events, and that usually gets me in about 15-20 minutes.
Okay. So
that is a good technique.
Through a happy period in your head.
Yeah, but like what you were saying, it's really perceptive, because I think for a lot of people, because I know for Nico, like he is the same. He's got a lot of work stress, you know, he's thinking about it. It's all churning around in his mind. And it's that future thinking, you know, what he's got to do, what he's got planned. So in a way, kind of switching your brain to look in the other way, the other direction, is kind of into a happy place as well. It's really calming. It's quite an interesting technique.
Do you not get songs stuck in your head and when you're in the bed like that?
No, not ever.
God, I get that so badly sometimes.
It's never happened.
No, I sometimes wake up with a song in my head.
Yeah,
like I'll wake up and I'll be. It might have been during a dream or whatever it is, but I'll be thinking about a song. And I don't know why, but never when I'm sleeping.
And it's never the whole song. It's only just like the 10-second clip that just goes round and round.
Really?
Like the beginning of one verse of a song. Repeating and repeating.
I read about this, you know, when something goes round and round like this, this loop. It's because you're not, you need to think about the end of the song. You've got to try and find the end to sort of close it, to put the full stop on it. Someone was saying it's the only way.
Yeah. And the thing is that you don't remember I'd remember the end. I could probably do the whole song, but I try to do it. And then before I get to the end of that 10 minute bit, I've tangented onto something else in my head.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Do you have any insomnia tips? How do you deal with that?
I used to, there's two things. When I was little, I'm really short-sighted. And to go to sleep, when I was little and I couldn't really sleep, I'd look at this painting that was on my grandmother's wall, because I slept in her room.
Yeah.
And it was all sort of blurry and confusing to my mind. And I just kind of like lose myself in the painting, kind of imagining other things. And it was sort of, that was like nice. I don't know, I suppose my eyes must have been open to do that. But that was kind of puts you in the right frame of mind, sort of otherworldly. And another thing I used to do is when I close my eyes sometimes, I kind of feel dizzy. Like I'd kind of imagine my bed was a boat and I was on a stream and the boat was, we were sort of like moving. And sometimes it would get really fast and I'd have to open my eyes again because I feel too dizzy.
That would be a bad thing. Like
it's a technique, but sometimes it get too much. But like I'd imagine my bed is like a boat and we're on this stream and you're just kind of, you shut your eyes and suddenly your room is like the vast ocean and you've kind of got this, I know, you're journeying into your lovely sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read something and I've tried it a couple of times and it's kind of works, but I got bored of it. Was like imagining that you're in a space, in a massive like warehouse or something, or just in space in general, and your name is written out in massive letters and you're walking across your name, like you know, like the P, like I'd walk in my mind, I'm like, I walk straight up for, you know, 30 seconds, then I take a right and then it curves back round, and you're imagining walking like on a video game sort of thing. Like
it's like you're painting your name into the ground with your feet.
Yeah, almost, but except the name's already there. Like I can visualize the name and so it's like a video game, like walking on the letters that are already there.
Yeah.
And imagining they're like just blocks, like, you know, blocks of concrete that you can stand and fall off of. And I read that somewhere and I tried it and I was like, yeah, that works. And then my brain kind of knew what I was doing. And it's like,
no. They're like, wait a minute. We know what you're doing. He's painting his name on the floor again. Guys,
but I think
carry on, everyone. False alert.
The thing about sleep that's interesting is you're talking about, like, you're worried, like, you're not going to have enough sleep with kids and things like this. And people talk about sleep a lot, like kids can't sleep. Mm-hmm. But it's not just kids, it's people. People have problems with sleeping. Like, I don't especially have insomnia, but we all know someone who, you know, they struggle with it. And, you know, learning to sleep is a life lesson. Like, it's a skill. And it's, in a way, that's why it's scary as a parent. You want to be able to, you want your kids to be able to like find that technique because they get themselves to sleep. You know, they need to have that for their life because it's awful to live with insomnia. It must be just a nightmare. Yeah.
Proper insomnia where you don't sleep ever and you're just like this walking sort of zombie.
Yeah, you end up, you end up Fight Club, don't you?
Yeah, you do. That's the logical progression of insomnia. Fight, the movie Fight Club.
Yeah.
For me, it's a few things. Like, so there are like these mental tricks you can do where you sort of have to meditate or trick your mind into not, you know, going off and thinking about all the things you're thinking of, whether they are the future concerns or whether it's just like your mind just... For me, it's like I run through lots of past experiences and things, but it's not like I've chosen to. It just suddenly all these things come back to me.
Yes.
One of the things is just to sort of give your mind something to do. Yeah, like walk along your name. Or for me, I'd just count from 100 down to 0 very, very, very slowly. Or I used to do this thing where I'd go through the alphabet and I had to come up with, I just have a theme and then have to think of a word that begins with each letter of the alphabet. And it's very, very, very loose and not strict at all. So it would be stuff like, you know, I'd start with like animals and just try and get through the whole alphabet, naming an animal for each one. Obviously the Z is zebra, right? And then the next one would be like, you know, smells. And then of course you keep going and certain letters are difficult. Like Q, K is often quite difficult. And Z always ends up being something zebra related. So like zebra smell is like the last one. So, you know, it's not strict at all. The main thing is you have to just keep going from one thing to the next and you keep doing it. with very specific topics.
Does it work?
Yeah, it does work because you get so bored and yet it's so easy.
Yeah.
You know, that you just keep going and your brain doesn't think about anything else.
I know this game that maybe I've told you about it, but like it's a game you go back and forth, like in teams or with people, and you have to think of a song and you can either choose a word or a theme. So it could be like alcohol or families or weather.
Yeah.
And so I'll say like a song which has touches one of those themes, then you've got to think of a song, and like we go back and forth. And it's a really, it's quite a compelling game. But someone like you that's good at music, you'd love that game. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I think so.
So you could choose like a word, so like a song that just like a particular word, like hand, for example. So if I was going to choose a song with hand in it, it'd be like, you know, I've got one hand in my pocket in an Alanis Morissette song. Yeah. You might say,
I want to hold your hand.
I want to hold your hand. Paul.
You stole mine. I give up already.
Another one. But do you know what I mean? And that's quite specific. But then another one is like just a theme, like, you know.
Like animals.
Like animals, yeah, exactly.
Any song relating to animals.
And it could be any animal.
See, that's too difficult for me, you see. Because that requires some, that's kind of taxing. Because for me, the purpose of my A to Z thing is like not for it to be a challenge.
Yeah.
It's just that
it needs to be easy.
It's easy. Yeah. So it's just like, you know, like it would be like, I've done animals. Like places. A would be, you know,
Africa.
Exactly. B is like a banana plant.
Botswana.
Banana plantation. C is a Coca-Cola factory.
Yeah.
D is like a Dragon's Den, the TV show, right. The studio. You know, really easy.
Yeah.
So you can just go through the alphabet very, very easily without having to like stop and go.
Well, it's not maybe for purposes of sleep, right. But just for fun.
Yeah, we used to play a game a lot at Apple. When we had like training events, which was you'd line up, you know, like 20 people on one side, 20 people on the other. So two teams of 20, and the two front people, you'd have the person in the middle, at the referee being like, all right, you say something and you have to go through the alphabet on the theme. So you would say like, would you have to go through the alphabet? No, not necessarily. That's another.
Just back and forth.
Yeah, you just go back and forth. It's like brands of automobiles, and then the two people would have to go one after the other as quickly as possible. And if you hesitated, then the person would have to leave and go to the back, and then the next person would. Right. So, like, your brands of automobiles: BMW, Mercedes, Peugeot, Renault. That's it. You're done.
And the idea is to stay as long as you can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's to eliminate all the other team before you.
I see.
And the one that always caught people out every time was you go ready 3, 2, 1 countries. Africa straight away. It was always guaranteed.
Africa's
to be
not
first.
A country.
No, because it's first alphabetically, like with an A.
Yeah.
And so they go Africa, and it's and everyone goes no. And then
Africa's not a country. No. Yeah.
And so it's a fun game because it gets people going. Like you can just be like come on next.
Since we're on the subject of these kinds of games, there's another one as well which is quite enjoyable where you get a group of people and you just make up a story, but you do one word each.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Have you done that before?
Yeah,
that's quite fun.
Oh, word, yeah.
Yeah, we could try doing that now.
Well, another one. Sorry,
no, really, we could. It could be funny.
One word each is... Okay, we can definitely try and do that now. One word each, but like just back to this one. I do one sometimes, which is like, it's a conversation, but the alphabet. So, you know, you can start anywhere in the alphabet. Like you start your sentence with A. So it'd be, you could start like, oh, Amber, how's it going? And I'd be like, blimey, Paul. It has to go A, B, C. So like you try and make this conversation as natural as you can, just sticking to the alphabet. It's good.
Okay.
One word is good too.
Are we done?
No, we're going to come back to it.
Come to a quick
like
game.
This is like my brain when I'm trying to sleep. This is exactly what. It's like, don't worry, it's all right.
This podcast is your brain.
Yes, that's right. So my listeners experience what I experience when I'm trying to get to sleep. But the thing is, they're not trying to get to sleep.
They're trying to learn English.
Some of them are already asleep. Amber, I'm sure.
I've actually listened. There's a couple of times where I've fallen asleep to your podcast, just because like I I'm just used to your voice, and then so you're talking, and then eventually it just like I'm soothing. Thinking about what you're saying, and then
I think it happens a lot.
Most people.
Hopefully not when they're driving, God forbid.
Most people that tell me they've listened to my podcast say, oh, I listen to it and go to sleep.
Because a lot of
glad that I bothered.
To be fair, a lot of people listen to stuff in bed in that little moment, like, you know, yeah, when you like watch your videos, you know. Yeah. So it's fine. I'm okay with it. I did an episode all about guided sleep meditation.
That was the one, I think, as yeah. well. That was the one. I tried it out and I was like, all right, I can't sleep right now. I'm going to try Luke's thing where he speaks very nice.
I genuinely challenge anyone to listen to that in bed without falling asleep. I worked quite hard on that one. Okay, one word each. We have to try and tell a story. Okay, we're going to go in a clockwise direction. I'm going to go first, and it goes like this. Once
upon
a
time,
there
were
three
terrible
children
who
were
naughty
because
they
shat
on
their
it's quickly become very dirty. Very quickly.
Floorboards.
So
their
parents
decided
that
they
should
get
naked
and
rub.
What kind of fucking story is this? You dirty.
You're the
bastard.
One who wanted to play it.
I'm not... But you've got naked and shat. We were just going for a story.
So wait a minute. So far, the story is this. There were three children who were naughty because they shat. Where? On the floor.
Floorboards.
And their parents then decided to get naked and rub. That's where we've got. Okay, rub, yeah.
This could go very
quickly.
Let's
bring the story back to more... Rub a small...
damp
cloth
against
their
shit
in
an
absolutely
in an absolutely clinical
manner,
then
everything
would
end
nicely.
Story.
Jesus Christ.
So the parents, in order to clean up the shit, they had to get naked first.
And then rub damp cloth.
In a clinical manner, so that everything would end nicely. Well, at least it had a happy ending.
I mean, it came to a natural conclusion.
It did, didn't it?
Oh, God.
Okay. It's interesting that it quickly became extremely dirty.
Yeah, sorry, that was my fault.
That's okay. Right, back to the sleep then. So we talked about methods for getting to sleep.
I'm glad we didn't do the whole podcast on that concept of just, let's do a story where we do one word.
Could be good, you know, we could try again sometime. What position do you sleep in?
Easy tiger.
No, the world just said, what? Easy tiger. Actually, some of the premium listeners know exactly what that means.
Oh, well, there you go. You have to subscribe to Luke's premium podcast to understand what easy tiger
means.
Whoa,
easy tiger.
What
position do you sleep in then?
I like to fall asleep on my back, but I always end up on one of the two sides. Because now we've moved the bed next to the wall to make room for the baby bed, I'm against the wall so that Addy can, obviously, when the baby comes, breastfeed out of her side of the bed. So I, like, snuggle up to the wall. So I'm like on the side facing the wall.
Yeah.
Like, trying to hug it. But it doesn't. It's happened once or twice where I've gone to put my hand around the wall, as if it was Addy, and bang, like I've punched the wall.
Okay, but you start on your back.
On my back, but then what normally happens is I normally fall asleep on my back. But just before I fall properly asleep, like I wake myself up snoring. Yeah. So I guess something happens. I just wake up going like I fall asleep and I go. And yeah. I wake up and I'm like, cool, I've got to go on to my side.
I'm the same. It's exactly the same.
Really?
I'll lie on my back and then either I'll wake myself up snoring or my wife will wake me up and say, you're snoring. And then I realise, oh yeah, I was. Like I was like half asleep, but I was aware that I was going, it's making some horrible noise like that. Yeah. It must be terrible. It's so awful. What a romantic vision I'm painting. It's not always like that, listeners. But you know, I'll fully fall asleep and then I do the Homer Simpson, you know. And then on to the side. Amber, what about
straight
you?
Straight to the side.
You start on the
start
side.
Start on the side.
Okay. Yeah. It's sort of fetal or non-fetal?
Just on the side. I like to cuddle a pillow. I've got one pillow for my head and one pillow for my cuddles.
Speaking of pillows.
Yeah.
Right? Pregnancy pillows.
Massive.
How... Do they not exist before someone's pregnant? No one's ever... They're the most comfortable thing in the world.
Yes. Describe a pregnancy pillow.
A pregnancy pillow is basically a pillow that women use when they're pregnant because it helps the... when they're lying down on their side to put like the pillow, but it's quite a long, it's in a long shape, but it's a U shape. It's like a shoehorn shape. A shoehorn? Is that what they, a horseshoe? Sorry.
Right.
A shoehorn, a horseshoe. It's horseshoe. The shape of a horseshoe.
Yeah.
And it's so comfortable. Like sometimes I'll, like at night when I'm just lying on the sofa and Addie's in bed, like I'll put it like round. It's so comfortable.
What's it
like,
made of?
The one that we've got is made of like a
little
polystyrene balls inside. Yeah. It's like a bean bag.
Yeah, man.
And I'm just like, why do these not exist for normal people who are not pregnant? Like, surely this is just be cushion. This is a cushion, and you can use it when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
I'd never heard about these things.
They are amazing.
I'd heard
they?
About them, but I'd never seen them. Or
they
never,
are the best.
They're amazing, aren't
yeah.
they?
They're the best.
Yeah.
But they're so big. We had one. It's like another person in your bed. They're enormous.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing. Though.
Yeah.
So is that what big. You're? Are you riding the? Are you hugging the pregnancy cushion?
I'm not. It's not a pregnancy cushion. It's just a regular. It's like a feather. Feather pillow. Uh-huh. I just like yeah. to sort of
hold something.
I think I want to sleep on my chest, but it's not comfortable as a lady. Mm. So it's sort of like an in between position. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I like it. I'm quite possessive of that pillow.
Do you move around a lot when you're asleep?
I don't know. I'm asleep. I don't wake.
You don't, haven't been in, told by people in your life. You move around a lot in bed, don't you? Like, I don't know. I'm asleep. Well, you do. Yeah. That's never happened to you?
I've done that.
My partner does, and he like is always punching me and like rolling over onto my head and like taking up space, which is why we've just bought a massive bed.
Yeah.
Nice.
Enormous.
What size? King
super
size.
Super king.
Super king size? Super
Wait, what
king.
Is that in French size? Like
180.
180, nice.
It's like fat king size. It's like a king, like a fat king. Like King Henry the Eighth. King size
that you can get a bed which is 2 meters, like 200 centimeters. We didn't get that one, we just got 180. Nice. But which is still massive because ours is 140.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at 160. Yeah,
yeah,
140,
which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think I do have a funny story of when I woke myself up outside of a hotel room.
Wait, what?
So I it was also alcohol that was involved, but I had a there was we were opening an Apple store in Valencia in Spain, and normally when you go, like when it's a big event, they open an Apple store, people queue up for miles. So the week before the store opens, you know, there's all the preparation in the store, the executive team from Apple, they fly out and all that kind of stuff the mm-hmm. day before, mm-hmm. and basically the day before the store opens, everyone goes out. There's a, you know, a paid for occasion where everyone's getting drunk and eating food. So free alcohol, free food. And so everyone gets drunk. And I got drunk one of these nights. And we were staying in like a 5-star hotel, really posh hotel, like where the doorman's got little hats and all this kind of, you know, like proper posh.
Is that how you get that they get the extra star? Like it's 4 stars, but if the doorman has a hat, 5 stars.
Exactly. And so at the night... I mean, I was drunk, but I don't remember being feeling completely hammered. You know, I was well gone, but you mm-hmm. know, not oblivious. Anyway, go to bed, and I wake myself up. I'm outside my hotel room in my boxer shorts, trying to get into my hotel room. And so, what I think I'd done is I either sleepwalked.
Yeah,
and I left. I walked out of my hotel room without my key.
Yeah,
and then it must have been the door closing that woke me up.
Yeah,
and I don't know how I got there. Or it was like I was trying to go to the toilet because I was changing hotel rooms the time.
You
with
went
Apple.
To the wrong room.
Like I just walked through the wrong door, closed it. I woke up. I'm in my boxer shorts. The door's locked. I'm trying to get in, so I have to go down to the reception.
Wait, just your boxer shorts?
Just my boxer shorts. Nothing else. Completely.
So topless.
Yeah, topless, bottomless, just boxer shorts on.
Yeah.
And so I have to go down to the reception. This is at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I go down to the reception. The guy with his hat's there. And I'm just like covering myself. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, in Spanish as well. I'm like, oh, he olvidado la llave para mi habitación. It was just, just everything. And he's just looking at me going, oh my God, what is this? The most embarrassing moment of my life.
I bet that happens a lot though.
Probably.
Yeah.
In hotels.
I don't know if it happens that much, but that was just sleepwalking.
Yeah.
Have you ever slept?
Sleptwalked?
Sleepwalked?
Sleepwalked.
You're right. That's almost scary, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it the only time you've done it? Sorry.
That specific thing has happened twice in two different hotels on two different occasions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Same thing, though, like Apple party.
You should start wearing pajamas when you travel.
Or a t-shirt that says, "I've sleepwalked out of my room. Can you help me get back in, please?" In the language of
or
the...
Or just tattoo it on my thing, like Memento. Like the film Memento.
Yeah.
I've never sleepwalked. No, it's never happened to me. Very boring in that respect. What about you?
No, I mean, I've passed out in other places than my bed, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Can I ask, what's the weirdest place you've woken up in then? Can you tell us?
It's not a weird place I've woken up in, but I came home once and I was a bit drunk. And it was the time of Nokia. It was a while ago.
Wait, the time of Nokia?
Time of Nokia, when everyone had a Nokia.
Hello! Yes!
I'm in a restaurant. No, it's rubbish. There was a time of Nokia when Nokia was the market.
Nokia is so good.
When Nokia was the market leader of mobile phones.
Yeah, yeah, and can I tell you,
indestructible phones. Yeah,
yeah, they are indestructible because this woman, she was killed, and her possessions thrown into a river, and literally months later they found that Nokia, and it still worked.
No, and the battery was still full.
Probably.
anyway,
it was times of Nokia. I had been out. And I got home and I didn't have much battery, so I plugged in my Nokia, which was the lead wasn't long enough to go to my bed. And I was just waiting for a response. I'm not going to tell you from who. It was a bit embarrassing situation. And I passed out on my phone, just lying on my phone. And then
wait, the phone was against your face.
Just like lying on my phone.
Like now, with your face lying on the phone.
My face lying on my phone. I just thought, I'll just send, maybe they didn't understand what I meant. I was pretty drunk. And then just like, I'll just send this message and wait for us. And just passed out on my phone. And that in itself is embarrassing. But
did you have like the imprint of a Nokia in your face?
Definitely had that. But you see, the thing is, what happened that night was not only did I get a number of text messages and missed calls, but my then boyfriend came round and he was like knocking and ringing. My bedroom was just next to the front door, knocking and ringing the bell and like trying to get in the middle of the night, and woke up my flatmate, who was a heavy sleeper and was really angry that this was happening. And he was like, "Look, she's just not here. Don't you understand? She's not at home. Otherwise she'd have got the door." And I'm not the tidiest of people either. And so they came into my bedroom and looked around like just the debris, and they couldn't spot me amongst all the rubbish.
But look,
like,
she's not here.
She's not here. And I was just lying, passed out on the floor with the Nokia imprinted on my face.
Yes.
And so then they left. And so the next morning when I got up for breakfast, my flatmate was like, "Where have you been?" And I was just like, "I was just in my room." He's like, "No," and explained it all. And I had all these missed calls. And I was like, "No, I was just lying on the floor."
And they didn't even see you.
Didn't hear it, didn't see it, passed out, Nokia on my face.
Oh my God, wonderful.
Pretty low moment.
I used to have a mate at university who it's a bit disgusting, but
did he take shits on floorboards and wipe them?
No, he didn't. But there were several times this happened. There was this weird period where this happened to him, and I think again he had gone to bed a bit drunk, and then so the first time his girlfriend explained the story that she woke up and my mate was up and standing. So basically what happened is he got up in the middle of the night and he pissed all over his stereo.
Yes.
Right? Apparently, right? Apparently, according to his girlfriend, she woke up and saw him get up, walk over to the stereo, pull out his
equipment,
his willy, and pee all over the stereo. And she was like, you know, started shouting at him. And then he realized, and then like the terrible shame that he peed all over his stereo. And then like a few nights later, the same thing happened. But he got up and went over to the corner of the room and peed all over her makeup table.
Oh, no.
You know, like sometimes girls have a low table, like a coffee table in the room with all the products on it. He just peed straight onto it, peed all over her table. The poor guy didn't know what he was doing.
Addy had to clean up vomit of mine once.
Lovely.
In the bedroom where, like I woke up in the middle of the night and I was opening our wardrobe.
Yeah.
And I guess thinking, because she could tell I was going to vomit. She knows she's got, she was like, no. And she like pushed me away from the thing and I ended up vomiting all over the floor, I think,
right,
in the bedroom, thinking it was the toilet.
But you, in your half asleep state, you woke up and you're like, I need to vomit and I'll just do it in the cupboard.
I didn't know until the next day. Until the next morning when I woke up and felt really awful. And she was like, oh, yeah, well, you feel like shit? Let me tell you what happened last night.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
Well, she made up for it by slipping in her own vomit and I having to clean up.
Yeah.
The story that I've told on stage.
I love that story.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
It's going to be in my second show. I need to figure out how to set up Addy as the sweetest, nicest person I've ever met, because you need that information. For the thing to be funny and me not like...
Right.
You need context about her and who she is as a person.
And the things she says when she's drunk.
Exactly, because...
compared to what she's actually like.
Yeah, because, when she's drunk, she's like, you know, take me now, I'm your prostitute.
Does she know you're going to do these jokes?
Yeah, she knows that I'm going to do the jokes. She knows I've done it already, because I've told all our friends, every time we've had friends around, everyone is dying laughing, this has to work for people that don't know who she is.
You're absolutely right. You have to set it up like, you know, when I met my wife, I thought she was the sweetest, most adorable person, and then I got to know and I learned that she is the sweetest, most adorable person, and then I got married her because she's the sweetest, most adorable person who, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then...
the thing is, like, she's so nice that she doesn't ask people for their seat now that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
She doesn't get on public transport because she's so worried about having to ask people to get up off their seat. She's too nice.
Yeah.
So she doesn't take public transport anymore because she doesn't want the awkward thing of her. She just hates it. She's so nice.
And then you can tell the story of her getting really drunk and coming home and her saying all these dirty things to you.
And then her vomiting on the floor, and as she's running towards the toilet, slips on her own vomit and swims in her own vomit for 5 minutes.
Oh, we all thought this was going to be a nice little conversation about sleep.
And it turned into alcohol abuse.
It became very disgusting very quickly about alcohol abuse and people shitting on the floor and puking on the floor, pissing on hi-fi systems and things like that. Hard bed or soft bed?
Mattress, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, obviously not like some spongy bed.
The bed is hard.
Yeah, but the mattress. Hard mattress or soft mattress?
Well, we went for memory foam thing.
Does it? See?
It's nice. Yeah. It's good. Like, literally, you can put like a cup of... If I do that and there's a cup of water there, it falls over. But on the bed, like if you put a cup of water on the bed, not that you do that, but it's... You can basically, it means you can move on your side and the other person doesn't feel what's happening, really.
Yeah.
However, in the hot months, it's really horrible. Like, it sticks to you. Like, it's really difficult for it to breathe. So it's horrible in the summer.
Okay.
Oh, medium. I don't like it too hard or too soft.
Okay.
Medium mattress.
The mattress.
Medium rare.
Medium.
I'm quite like a firm mattress myself. Okay. This just sounds so... innuendo-ish. Sounds rude, doesn't it? Do you like a firm mattress?
I had a joke about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was sort of a true joke. I went to IKEA to buy a new mattress with my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it wrong and I said I like you have to speak French. I said I like a dur matelot instead of matelas, which means I like a hard sailor.
So what you wanted to say, I like a hard mattress,
and you said I like a hard sailor, but I didn't realize I'd made a mistake because my mother-in-law said me too.
Yes.
Naps, do you like to take naps? Do you like little power naps, cat naps?
I like the concept, but then every time I wake up I hate myself.
What?
Because I feel so much more tired when I wake up after a nap, I like the concept of being like, oh, cool, it's 4 p.m., just go for a sleep.
Yeah, but there's they say that you shouldn't shouldn't sleep more than about 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because if you do, your body kicks into some other
stage of sleep.
Yeah, your brain's sleep like, cycle. Okay, lock down the gates. We're going in for the long haul, folks.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and they're like, what are we doing?
Yeah, but then I always say that. I'm like, oh, I'll do it for 20 minutes. The alarm goes off in 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah.
I'll stay for a bit longer. Yeah. Big mistake.
I've got a question for you. Yeah. Maybe it's on your list.
Okay.
Can you sleep on transport?
It's on my list. It's the next question on my list. Yes, I can totally sleep on public transport. I love falling asleep on public transport. But that's because I used to live in Japan, where falling asleep on public transport is like
a pastime,
de rigueur for Japanese people, where you get on the train. So I'd get on the train to go to like Yokohama, and it's half an hour from where I used to live. And I'd get on the train, and after 10 minutes, everyone's asleep. It's like the train driver has flicked a switch.
Yeah, and everyone's...
And everyone's just... Poof, and they're all asleep on each other's shoulders and stuff. They're so cute. They're like teddy bears.
That's... I've heard about this, like public sleeping in Japan. That's crazy.
And then you get to Yokohama Station and doing the doors open. Everyone wakes up and gets off the train instantly. It's amazing.
Interesting.
After a while, I got used to that, and I would nod off on the train as well. It's very nice, very quiet, peaceful trains. Yeah, so unless they're utterly crowded,
yeah, it depends for me. I don't know. There's times where I can, but there's times where I just not at all. Like flights are always difficult, especially long ones, because it's just you never find a comfortable position. And like my neck always ends up hurting after a couple of hours. And then if I've got 6 hours left, you're just like, oh God, this is going to be horrible.
You know,
but on short haul flights, I can't. Normally I end up falling asleep during taxiing on a flight.
Wait a minute.
When the flight leaves the
terminal,
and then it starts moving. I think just like the slow rocking moving towards the runway, and sometimes it takes like a good 10 minutes to get to the runway depending on the size of the airport. Mm-hmm. In Paris it takes ages to get to the runway.
Yeah.
I fall asleep before takeoff.
Right.
And then as I'm taking off, sometimes it's this weird sort of half sleep, half awake thing.
I like that.
Then I always wake up when the trolley comes first. Even if it's a 6 hour flight, I'll wake up, trolley comes for the drinks after about 20 minutes, and then I'm up for, I can't get back to sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird. I do like kind of being half asleep, half awake, falling asleep, open an eye. Oh, well, I see. We're just landing. Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
Carry on. Or falling asleep. Oh, we're just crashing.
Yeah. No and problem. When you land, it's just like, oh, everything's fine.
Do you fall asleep on public transport?
No. And it's so short. It should be easy for me.
Wait, you're so short? Why would that make a difference?
Because I've got plenty of leg room. Doesn't matter how cheap the flight is.
And it's easy, yeah.
You know, I'm small. I'm a small little person.
But that's planes, though. What about buses?
And, you know, I can't fall asleep on any transport.
Why? You're worried about other people?
It's not comfy. I like to be lying. If I can lie down flat, I can fall asleep. Like, noise isn't a problem for me, anything like that. But if I have to sit up, I can't sleep.
Yes.
But Nico, he's asleep like... Pow! Literally 2 minutes. Pow! He's down. He can sleep anywhere.
Pow!
You know, we were talking before about going to sleep, going to bed, lying down on your back, and then falling asleep on your back, and then going that, and waking up. Do you ever do that on public transport?
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times.
It happens to me all the time. I'll be like just on a train or something, and my head is going back.
Yeah,
and then I'm just, and then 1 minute I wake myself up by going, ah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've done it or not, but like in my head, I've gone, and then
it's horrible.
And I wake up and look around, and you know, you have to kind of do something, like, you know, cough like that, like as if to say,
I'm not under any. Yeah.
I'm not good at falling asleep on transport, but I have fallen asleep on the night bus.
Oh, yes.
From London, and like, and you wake up.
The night bus.
You wake up when you headbutt the seat in front of you. So it's like, oh, you need
to. I mean, the night bus is not just in London or England, but we still need to explain the night bus concept.
It's just the night bus is so long.
What is it?
It's when the
it's a bus at night.
Okay.
It's when the trains have stopped.
But it's
when public
more than
transport...
just the bus at night, though, isn't it? Because like, you only take the night bus in certain situations.
Well, when you've got no other, when you've got no money to get a taxi.
But why are you out in the first place?
You're out partying,
right? You've been out drinking or to a club or something like that, and the only way to get home is to take the night bus. And in London, it takes you a good hour to get home on the night bus.
Yeah.
right?
Even though you could probably walk home quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get on the night bus and then, yeah, so it's like this whole thing. It's like a whole experience of its own, the night bus.
I got a night bus once in central London. This was when I was at university in East London. And it was the whatever, the night bus. And so I get on the night bus. I'm kind of drunk. I've got a phone in my hand, like the Ericsson whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why I had it in my hand, because you wouldn't be looking through stuff. Anyway, I had the phone in my hand and I fell asleep with the phone in my hand. And I woke myself up, similar to your thing, but I woke myself up because I dropped the phone. Like, I think I was in full deep sleep and my phone dropped. I woke up, picked it up. I look around, I'm the only one on the bus and the driver's going, "Get out! It's the end of the line." We were in Essex.
Oh my God, no way.
And it was like 5 a.m. and I'm still drunk. So I get out of the bus in Essex, which is the county next to London.
Yeah, you've gone out of London.
I've gone out of London. I've left London.
You've left Greater London.
I'm in Essex, in Ilford or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I start walking back. There's no maps. There's no Google Maps at this time.
And you're still kind of drunk.
I'm like to the driver, I'm like, how do I get back into London? He's just like, there. So he points me to this dual carriageway that's got massive, like it starts off a dual carriageway where it's on normal level, but then it kind of goes down a little bit, down a hill. And then so there's walls up because the road keeps going. So I go into this thing and there's like a really small pavement that's to the width of that. It's not
sofa, like a very small walkway. So listeners, a dual carriageway is a very, very busy main road. It's not exactly a motorway, which is the fastest road that you can get, but it's like the next one down.
Yeah, where the speed limit, I think, is 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, and you've got two lanes and then a central reservation and then two lanes as well. It's a very, very busy, dangerous road.
It is busy, but it's at 5 a.m, so it's not busy. There's a couple of cars here and there. So I start walking down this thing with these massive walls and the walls keep going.
Yeah.
And I'm about 20 minutes in, the walls aren't getting smaller. I'm like, okay, this is fucking scary now. Like, do I go back 20 minutes or do I go forward? I can't get out. Like the walls, you know, it's about, I don't know, they're about 20, 30 foot high.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do. And I'm like halfway between London and Essex. And luckily, like this taxi pulls over and stops over. And he's like, where are you going? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
doing on this dual carriageway?
Yeah, I'm just walking back to London.
I fell asleep on the bus. I'm walking back to London. Where are you going? Mile End. I'm like, he's like, how much money do you have on you? I'm like, I've got a fiver. And he's like, get in. So it was like a scary like Matrix like horror film situation, because you know I'm still drunk, so I don't really know what's happening. Like I can't go back. That's 20 minutes. That's so far away. And if I go forward, will I reach somewhere where I can get out of this thing within 20 minutes, or will it be half an hour?
Sounds like one of those, like, you know, those TV programs about disasters that people experience?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, we start the program with the story of Paul Taylor. You know, and then there's a reconstruction.
Yeah, what was that called?
I'd like to see 999 Emergency Rescue.
That was it.
Fucking amazing show.
Love that show.
With Michael Burke.
Yes.
There's, you know the Day to Day, you know Chris Morris, Brass Eye, the Day to Day.
No,
it's the program that Alan Partridge first appeared on. It's like a spoof of the news,
right?
And in the Day to Day, they had a spoof of 999 Emergency Rescue, and it's just brilliant. Why did I bring that up? Because I now have to explain what happens in it, but it's very, very funny. No, I don't.
You can just move on.
I can just move on
back
from that.
To sleep.
Back to sleeping again. Okay.
So that was night buses. Sorry. So I went off on a tangent.
We talked about sleepwalking. Do you ever talk in your sleep? Do you know?
Occasionally, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah. Have you ever talked in your sleep?
Yeah.
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 What did you say?
Nonsense.
Yeah,
it's happened. Addy does it as well,
same as usual.
Like I'll wake up, yeah, exactly. I'll wake up and she'll just be talking, but it doesn't, it's their words maybe, but I can't really, because I'm half asleep when I hear it, but she's just talking and none of it's making sense. It's sometimes just gibberish, but it's just real words.
Yeah,
she's like, yeah, where pourquoi pas, and I'm like, what? And she doesn't answer, and I'm like, oh, she's asleep.
My cousin, who I've done a lot of traveling with in the past, he talks in his sleep, but it's very scary because he doesn't speak words. It's like he's speaking in tongues.
No.
Right.
And it's like this.
Oh, that is scary.
It's like, you know, in Harry Potter when he starts speaking parcel tongue. He starts talking to snakes and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that. He starts speaking parcel tongue. So that's weird. I've woken up in the middle of the night before in some, you know, like some place in like... where, like in Cambodia or something, in some little like B&B or something, and he's going I'm like,
and when you talk to him in the morning, does he remember?
No.
I remember now, Addy said to me one time, I woke like in my sleep, I just said yeah, iPhones mainly. That was it.
That's what you said.
That's what I said in my
sleep. Is that when you were working at Apple as well?
The other thing that I did
iPhones mainly
I woke myself up. And I woke Addy up in the middle of the night because I was applauding in my sleep. Again, it was I was clapping.
Clapping.
Because I think that's the word, isn't it?
It's applauding. No, it's good. Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was because I was in an Apple launch, like new iPhone launches. I just woke up just going.
Yeah, iPhones mainly.
Yeah. And Addy wakes up, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, I was dreaming, sorry.
That's another Apple conference of some kind. Yeah. Okay, what about snoring?
I mean, I don't snore as a rule. I think it has happened. I have had an occasional... happened.
Just one snore, a little...
I've heard it. I've heard an escaping... But I think generally I don't snore. But you see, it's not the same for a lady to snore. It's a lot more embarrassing for a lady snoring.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, though. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
It's like I have this thing about...
My dad used to snore.
Did he?
Oh, he was a snorer.
Yeah, my dad.
Oh, he could snore the house down.
Like the all the windows rattling and
big
stuff.
Big snorer, yeah. he's quite a fat man.
Snoring,
yeah.
Does snoring occur in your life?
Not really, except the initial like falling asleep.
Yeah.
Like
I snored
quick.
When I was pregnant.
You snored when you were pregnant?
When I was pregnant, I snored quite a lot.
That's interesting. Why was that?
I think
it's because you're heavier and it's difficult to move and you're... I don't know.
It's something about, like, snoring is about something about relaxing, you know, in your throat.
Yeah.
And when you're pregnant, all of your limbs and connections, they all relax because they're ready to be stretched open wide.
I see.
And maybe it was about that. I don't know, but I do remember I did snore and I felt very embarrassed about it.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, there's nothing to be embarrassed about with snoring, I think. But... yeah, that when you get a big snorer in the house, you can sometimes hear it through walls and things like that.
Yeah. My cat snores.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's horrible. He sounds like a gremlin.
Go on. Can you do an impression of it?
I've got to get in the cat mode. He'll fall asleep and he's just like...
Oh, listen.
We're trying to watch like the latest episode of Sherlock or something. We just hear him like on the floor. So you just have to like shift him a bit and he'll just go, ow!
Does your cat do that thing where he's like trying to catch a mouse but he's asleep? You know, when the...
The paws start to go and they start twitching. The whiskers start twitching.
Another thing, does your cat do this if it's sitting at the window and it sees a bird?
Yeah.
Why do cats do that?
I don't know. It's weird. The funniest thing was that, like, we had a thing similar. Like, imagine this space here, right? The kitchen's over there. The cat's on the kitchen table looking at the window.
Yeah.
And our banisters are much closer. We don't really have a balcony at all. So the metal banisters, there's about, I don't know, 30 centimetres between the window
and the
banister.
The metal banister of the
balcony. Yeah, and what happened was there was a pigeon that came in and got stuck in between the banister in full view of the cat.
Yeah.
And the cat, you just went... He legged it from the kitchen, jumped down onto the sofa and ran straight into the window, thinking that it was like that it was no glass.
Yeah.
And he just went straight into it and left a massive mark of like snot all over the window. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And then he fell over and then he just got up as if nothing happened.
Yeah, just normal.
If he'd have had a shirt, he'd have, you know, just popped the collar a little bit like James Bond does, you know, after he's just killed three people. He does the tie up and the collar. Like, that was the cat.
And just
elegant
walks off.
As always.
But yeah, that
unbelievable.
I meant to do that. That was intentional. Yeah, but it's weird though. I mean, cats looking
and it's
out of
so funny.
Cats looking out of windows, looking at birds, and so strange, aren't they, cats?
Did you see that barking cat Did you see it on the internet?
Barking. So barking is what dogs do. Woof, woof, woof. That's barking. But there was a barking cat.
Yeah. It was. You didn't see this?
No.
It's so funny. So this cat is looking out the window and it's barking and it sounds really like a dog. And then the human who's like filming it, the owner, you can presume, like sort of comes in and the cat sort of is like woof, woof, and then turns around and is like woof, meow, meow, meow.
What? I missed that. Say that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Say that again. Say that again.
The cat is caught like barking, like getting the dog in trouble.
I think I might have seen this.
Getting the dog in trouble. And then it like turns around. It hears something. It turns around. It sees it's being filmed. And then it sort of like goes meow, meow, meow.
Wait, so this, wait a minute.
2 million views. A cat barks like a dog until it gets found out is so, the title of the video.
Right, so wait a minute. This is a cat who... This is a cat who has learnt to bark like a dog,
yeah,
and is doing it in order to frame.
He's
dogs.
Framing the dog. We can presume. I'm adding narrative to it, but we presume he's framing. It's the dog. Okay, so, listen.
Okay,
this is a cat.
Ready?
Yeah. Okay. So the cat starts, it's like barking out of the window.
Maybe it's barking at some dogs. Maybe it's communicating.
It's barking out the window. And then when it realizes that there's someone filming, it goes, meow, meow. I wasn't doing anything. Like meow.
Cats are amazing with video. They know, it's like my masturbating cat. The cat, my cat that touches himself. Every time I tried to film him, he stopped immediately. And then kind of like turned around or whatever.
Like, dude, why are you filming this?
My cat makes a similar noise. Like he's to the barking. It's not quite barking, but it's like ow, 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 ow.
Oh my god!
But it's because he's deaf as well, so I think it's like he can't hear himself.
Can't hear how loud he is.
Because there are other cats, just a normal cat, he just goes, and then him next door just goes, ow, ow, ow.
We're nearly finished, right? But do you like to have lie-ins in the morning?
Oh,
yes. Yeah?
Do you like having lie-ins?
Love it.
Okay.
My favourite part of life is sleeping.
Yeah.
I love sleeping.
Do you remember my joke? The one that... Do you remember I told you that story? Yeah, which one, Luke? But remember I told you that story about telling a joke in a class and then one of my students leaving the country? Do you remember that? You don't remember that? We played the lying game.
Yeah.
And I told you the story about how I told a joke to a group of students and then the next day one of them... had left the school and gone back to his country.
It's ringing a
and
bell.
I thought it was, you know, I was wondering whether or not it was because I told this terrible joke or not.
And
it's like
the
worst
joke?
Response to a joke ever. The joke is, I love lions. I love having lions. I have a lion every weekend. I'm the Lion King. I told that joke to this class and none of them got it. And then I spent like a good 10 minutes at the end of the lesson explaining it and they still didn't understand it. And they left the classroom a bit sort of disheartened and depressed.
Were they rushing to leave the classroom?
Yeah. And then the next day my boss said, oh yeah, you know, this student won't be coming back. I was like, oh, what happened? He left the country. Like, oh shit. That was a bad response to a joke, but
that's the worst.
I have told that story on the podcast before.
I've got one more question.
Go on.
Lots of people ask this, but it's about dreaming.
Do you dream in French or in English?
Those
well, dreaming
questions.
Is another
subject. My nightmare in French. Sebastian Marks.
That's a great joke.
It's a good question.
Yeah, dreaming is another story for another time, but go on.
Like people always ask, like, do you dream in French? I'm like, no, just always in English, I think. I only remember one dream that was definitely in French, but... But I'm not as bilingual. That was a question more for Paul.
Okay, so Paul, do you dream in both languages?
This is going to be a weird answer because it's similar to when people say, do you think in French or in English?
Yeah.
And I don't think in words. I don't think in a language. I don't dream in a language. I dream in thoughts. So, and I think in thoughts in the sense of like, if I need to go to the toilet, right, and I'm thinking I need to go to the toilet, I'm not thinking in my head, Paul, you need to go to the toilet. It's not a grammatical phrase. The thought of me needing to go to the toilet is the thought. There's no language attached to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's in pictures.
But do you ever have experiences in dreams where people are talking?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've had that. And I'll tell you the weirdest experience of that is that I learned an Arabic word in my sleep.
What?
Yeah, and obviously it's not, but consciously I don't ever remember learning this word. So I was in a dream. I'm speaking to an Arabic guy, and for some reason we're talking. I'm in a classroom, and he's making me write out the word, pronounced it Sahra, right?
Yeah.
And I'm writing it
sounds,
out.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't
right?
it?
Sounds good. So yeah.
It's going Sahra, and it's like S-A. Like he's writing it in English. I can't remember what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm like Sahra. He's like, what does this mean? And he said it's the Arabic word for desert. Uh-huh. And I woke up at that moment, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that was weird. And then I go, no.
Hey Siri, what does Sahra mean?
That's in exactly. English? I think I said, hey Siri, translate desert into Arabic.
In Arabic, desert is.
Okay. Not at all that.
Not at all that.
Word. But I Google translated it, and it turns out that it is the word for desert.
Okay.
And it turns out that the Sahara Desert is just the desert. Like,
yeah.
It's called the Sahara.
The desert. Yeah.
Oh, the desert. And the desert.
Like, that wasn't information I knew or that I consciously knew.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way that in a dream I learned the Arabic word or it might not be Arabic then, it might be another language, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But that.
Well, there's lots of Arab languages. Yeah, different. And, you know, there's lots of different. I mean, it's very vast.
There'll be two words for desert.
Easy.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So that messed with me. So okay. Yeah, different languages. Yeah.
Sorry, I detracted us. I was just curious. Yeah. No, people ask me the whole time.
We'll come back to the subject of dreams at another time. But I think that's all we've got time for.
Yeah.
We've been talking here for a good deal of time. It's like the length of a football match with a bit of extra time added on at the end for injuries.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks, guys.
Well,
thanks
time for a siesta, I think.
Yeah, we could have a little nap there. Thanks for talking to me on Luke's English Podcast again, guys.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a lot of fun. I can't think of a witty way to end this. So I'll say...
have a nap, have some shut-eye, get 40 winks.
There you go.
Get
have a kip. Just get your head down yeah. and have a bit of a kip, yeah. All right then. Nice one, guys. Thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Right then, so there you are. That was Amber and Paul on the podcast again. As I said before, watch out for a premium episode coming at some point about the topic of sleep. Also, Amber fans in London, don't forget, go down to, what was it called? Oh dear, I can't remember the name of the theatre. Hold on a minute. Okay, it's at the Rosemary Branch Theatre in Islington, Thursday the 23rd of May at 7.30. I've become Irish there for a second. Rosemary Branch Theatre, Islington, Thursday, 23rd of May at 7.30. 7.30. The details are on the website here. You'll find a link to find all the details. I think it's on the Rosemary Branch Theatre's website. Also, the other thing was Paul Taylor's full stand-up show, Franglais, is now available on YouTube. If you go to the page for this episode, you'll find the video there, so you can just watch it there if you like. And as he said, all the bits that are in French have English subtitles, so you should be able to watch the whole show and enjoy it without... you know, needing to know French. You know, there's a lot of stuff about being an English person in France. So there's a lot of jokes about French culture. But anyway, you can see Paul doing his thing on stage on YouTube, the whole show. So check it out. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Keep it up, folks. I mean, the listening practice. It's good for your English on a long-term basis, I promise. Obviously, it helps if you enjoy it. And I hope that you enjoyed another chat today with the Pod Pals. A little heads up about what you can expect from the free episodes which are coming. So the next one should be a conversation with Paul, in which we talk about getting older, growing up, having children, and what it means to be a good father and things like that. It's actually a really good conversation, I think. We recorded it like directly after the one about sleep with Amber. Amber had to go and pick up her son. And Paul and I stayed and recorded another conversation. It's actually a really good one, I think. It gets quite deep and meaningful. And you can hear, you know, more about how Paul is preparing himself to become a dad for the first time. So if all goes according to plan, that should be the next episode. Then there will be more conversations with other guests coming soon, including Australian journalist Oliver G. In fact, he's going to come round here in about 5 minutes to record our conversation. And hopefully we're going to talk about loads of things, including the recent fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral, which happened, well, fairly recently. So we're going to talk about that and other stories. And also, there's going to be a chat with my dad about some recent news. So that's planned in a few days' time. I think we're going to talk. I'm going to talk to my dad for the podcast after the European elections. So anyway, that's coming. A conversation with my dad about some recent news, no doubt including the latest Brexit update, the European elections, and hopefully some football chat as well, because my dad's a bit of a football fan. So there will be another Rick Thompson report coming. So as long as my computer doesn't completely break down or something, because I have been having problems with my computer. So as long as my computer doesn't break down, that should be the plan for the next few episodes. Conversation with Paul, conversation with Oliver G, with lots of stories about different things, and then a Rick Thompson report. And that should take us up to episode 600. And then there will be a whole load of premium episodes arriving as well. Okay? Teacherluke.co.uk/premium to get signed up to the premium content. Also, don't forget, get the Luke's English Podcast app on your phone for all the episodes, including the premium content and loads of bonus stuff, including app-only episodes, loads of jingles that I've made in the past, videos, and more things of that nature. Okay? Thank you very much for listening to Luke's English Podcast. Thank you again to Amber and Paul for their contribution. For now, though, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.